At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger. And future stronger you can get started now by saving $28 or more when you join today. You in? We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need to keep stepping it up. And free fitness training to help you mix up your routine. Plus, most clubs are open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends February 28th. See home club for details.
The following broadcast may contain free thinking and open-minded discussion, ideas, skepticism, and adult subject matter. Topics will be discussed using adult language, sometimes gratuitously. Get ready to move the conversation forward. This ain't your granddad's news and comment show. This is I Doubt It Podcast with Brittany Page and Jesse Dalamore.
Navigating the existential crisis that is Donald Trump's second term. This is I Doubt It Podcast, episode 939. I am your host, Jesse Dalamore, joined by your other host, the lovely, talented, and indeed scholarly, Brittany Page.
So we were absent for a brief period, and that is because we both got the flu.
Speak for yourself. I had it too.
All right. And it's a bummer because I used to say, I never get sick. And
you now, used to never get sick.
And now I get sick. What feels like all the time I get sick. I think it's just age. I'm getting old. My body's breaking down.
I'm actually a little bummed because I had a great track record of dodging the bullet from you twice.
Yeah, because I think I already had the flu this flu season. I had flu A this time. Maybe I had flu B the previous time. And I got the flu shot. Everyone keeps coming at me. They're like, this is why you get the flu shot. Yeah, I got the flu shot. I get the flu shot every year. It's very important to get the flu shot. If we're able to still get the flu shot in the future with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. As Secretary of Health and Human Services, I will certainly continue to get the flu shot.
This soon. We're in the intro. We're talking about the goings on of our life to include the listeners. And you got to go there with fucking RFK Jr.
Well, I can't ignore it when we're talking about vaccines. So, yeah, it's been difficult because it's been a week from hell. And so
you've been fucked.
I was talking about the news with that particular sentence, but
we're still in the intro.
No, okay, it's been a bummer to be this sick.
Oh, okay.
While so much was going on, but I ended up at urgent care, which is not something that I do. I do not go to urgent care. I would prefer not to do that. And I went because I was scared. And
yeah, well, you know, when you go to urgent care, you're burning a whole fucking day. You're going to be there 4, 5, 6, 7 hours. In our case, it was only 5 hours. Only.
I think it was 3 hours, but all right. That seems.
Was it not?
I think it was 3 hours, but, you know, maybe it was more. And what I'm happy about is I was nervous I was going to get a doctor who would dismiss my concerns.
Shame you for wasting their precious doctor time.
Yeah, and instead I was met with a very lovely lady who took my concerns very seriously and heard the wheezing and ordered a chest x-ray. And thankfully it wasn't pneumonia, but, you know, we have several friends here who have been hit with the flu. And one of my friends remarked that I was the second person that had to get a chest x-ray from the flu. So please take care of yourselves. Please avoid the people whose number one hobby is coughing into the air. Please try to stay safe.
That's a hell of a hobby. What do you do, model trains? Nah, just walking around and coughing into the air right around people, especially in hospital settings.
Some people believe it's like a sport. It's like a sporting event at the airport.
Well, do you want to talk about how you think you got it?
Is from being in the waiting room.
Yeah.
At Kaiser while you were getting your...
My CT scan.
Your CT scan.
I had a post-cancer screening.
Right.
And you waited... I didn't know if I was going to be fucked up because they inject dye. And sometimes I feel kind of sick.
You have to drink a bunch of stuff.
Yeah. And so I had you wait for me. And you graciously waited in the waiting room. Maskless, though.
Yeah, big mistake.
Which you don't normally do. Maybe you just left it at home. I don't... What happened?
I don't know. Yeah, I have a lot going on. I don't know if you know, but there's a lot going on. I totally
again,
forgot.
Existential crisis.
Yeah, but you're right. I normally do. And this has been a reminder to make it a priority again. I mean, I normally do, but I don't know.
The sickness in our household was such that we lost time.
Yeah.
Like, I slept at one point for like 14 or 16 hours where I opened up my email and there were hundreds of emails in my personal email account that normally just gets cleaned out throughout the day and
right.
just zoned out.
Yeah. So I'm testing negative for the flu.
Me too.
We went out briefly to the protest in front of the Department of Treasury to protest Elon Musk's hostile takeover of the federal government. And we were out there for a brief period of time. Thankfully, I felt well enough to do that. I still wore a mask. I tested negative.
It's so interesting, these new tests that are not just COVID tests. They cover several different elements that will tell you whether you're positive or, you know, normal.
Yeah, I posted my test on my YouTube community tab just to update everyone. And one of my regular haters commented and was like, "Of course you have at-home tests, LOL, so weak." I love what these people think.
So funny.
It's like weak that I have this like test so that I can know what illness I have.
1.5 million people died of COVID, but we're weak for wanting to know more information about our health.
My graduate school advisor died of the flu.
Also, I'm sure he's one of these assholes. That's M-A-H-A, Maha, make America healthy again.
Yeah, please.
But then mocking you for having an at-home test.
We're not supposed
flu.
To talk about that. This is supposed to be the light and...
You brought up the fucking Elon protest.
All right, yeah, I did.
All right, intro over, next segment.
Yeah, we can't stop. So we said on our previous episode that our next episode back would be a listener communication only episode, and so that's what we're doing. As you can tell, we're sprinkling in current events as we go, because obviously Elon Musk is engaged in an illegal federal government takeover right now.
It's a coup. Let's call it what it is. It's an attempt to overtake the United States government and usurp the authority of Congress and the constitutional separation of powers and the co-equal branches of government. An unelected, unaccountable, no oversight. He's not given press conferences. There's zero transparency. And I'll shut up now.
Yeah, it's just a group of like undeveloped frontal lobes that are going from department
like
to department and taking it over. We have no idea what they're doing. We have no idea what they're
highly
doing.
Highly sensitive Treasury Department pay systems. It's a nightmare.
Things are, for a while I was saying, when Trump got back into office, for a while I was saying, things are about as bad as I thought they would be. I kept saying that. I'm like, no, you know, this is about as bad as I thought it would be. This is about as bad. And in the past 2 days, I finally have started to say, this is much worse than I thought it would be.
That's interesting. I said in a YouTube video today that is yet to post, that I always talk about how, it's not surprising what's happening, but we should still maintain our level of shock, mm-hmm. how shocked we are. Mm-hmm. And there's actually been things that I've been surprised by.
Right.
That it's been, oh, fuck, I knew it was going to be bad, but oh, my God, this is much, much worse.
The Trump administration is straight up ignoring federal judges.
Yeah.
Again, the Republicans are doing nothing to even show an ounce of concern about what Elon Musk is doing.
They're watching with delight what is happening.
And Elon Musk, his next target is the Department of Labor. There's going to be a protest out there. We're going to go out there after this. We wanted to get this recorded because it's important that people are in the streets. And yeah, so I just want to start there.
If you're in D.C. and you happen to be listening to this right now and it's before 3:00 on Wednesday, go down to the Labor Department. We'll be down there.
Here's the other thing, though. Even if you're not in D.C., and listen, I know...
200 Constitution Avenue.
I know people are busy. I know everyone has a lot going on. This has been a nightmare, and I totally hear you on you're busy, and we all have things going on. People are just trying to survive. But if you can, if you have time, I would recommend going to indivisible.org, putting your email and zip code in, signing up for their communications, and trying to find a local Indivisible group in your area that is engaging and taking weekly actions, whether it's visiting your senator's office. That's one of the asks that they had this week, to pressure them to say no on Russell Vote. They are giving people ideas and tools to get out into the streets. So it's not just here in DC. It is in your area. Potentially, yeah. You can either start or work with a local indivisible group. And this is what we need to do. We need to be finding people that are doing the work and partner with them to amplify their voices. And that's what we need to be doing, because we've already seen the pressure campaign work on Democrats. Because yesterday, when we were out in front of the Department of Treasury, we started to hear the Democrats say, shut down the work in the Senate.
A few of them.
A few of them.
More than
before. That's what I said.
More than before.
Started to hear it.
Yeah.
And these cowards, that is what they need to do. No more voting on Trump nominees. These sickening Democrats who have been voting yes on Donald Trump's nominees.
And not just Fetterman either. There's been mainstream, mainline Democrats doing it too.
In the midst of this power grab, it is disgusting. And so we need to keep the pressure on. Yes, the pressure works. Keep the pressure going, please. And we're going to be out there covering it. So we asked you all to tell us what was on your mind, how you've been feeling, how you've been processing things. We obviously got a mix of responses to that. Some people are angry. Some people are grieving. Some people are afraid for their safety and their well-being and their families.
Maybe all of the above.
Totally. And so this is going to be kind of a mixed bag. And I guess the hope here is that by hearing from other people, by hearing from us, you feel less alone. You feel like you have people that are feeling like you do.
Community.
And that we can grieve, we can be angry, we can feel all of these things, and we can still try to keep the fight up. So let's start with a voicemail here from someone who wants to remain anonymous.
Hi, Jesse and Brittany. I'm going to stay anonymous just because of what I'm talking about, but just finished your most recent episode, and man, I don't even know how to think about the last week. I have a trans daughter, and sitting with her and helping her process is probably one of the hardest things I've ever done as a parent. And I don't even know where to go from there. She's staying optimistic, which is great, and we're doing our best to also stay optimistic, but it's really hard. And we are lucky to be in a state where we are that will give us a certain amount of protection, but I also don't want to depend on that to keep her safe. So we're lucky to have a lot of resources and a lot of privilege. And we are using those things. But what's hard about that is that we know that that's not the case for everybody. For a vast majority of folks, that's not the case. And so it's trying to figure out how we can use the power and the privilege that we have to help other people. We've gotten connected with some groups, and we have families that we talk to on a regular basis just for support and camaraderie. There's a great book out recently by Nico Lang called American Teenager, and just reading that book brought me joy and hope. Listening to other people's stories and partnering with them and just knowing that nobody is alone, I think, is a really important piece for us and our family. So, again, not super helpful, probably. I don't know. But you're not alone. And if people want to connect, yeah, that's super, super important. Thanks for all you do.
At Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger. And Future Stronger You can get started now by saving $28 or more when you join today. You in? We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need to keep stepping it up. And free fitness training to help you mix up your routine. Plus, most clubs are open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends February 28th. See home club for details.
First thing that comes to mind for me, and I don't think it's a stretch to say this is not a Republican, but it's the stark juxtaposition between our people and theirs, that in the midst of what could be considered a tragedy or a crisis, certainly, uncertainty, Anonymous here is highlighting privilege that exists, mm-hmm. and that things could be worse for other people, and still embroiled in uncertainty with her and her daughter. Mm-hmm. It's immediately what came to mind. It's that she thinking of community and thinking of others while in the midst of, holy fuck, what's gonna happen?
Yeah. And I think that's something that's helpful for me to remember when things get bad is the number of people who are just ready to go to work.
Yeah.
Right? Ready to continue fighting. And we saw it yesterday with people out in the streets, you know?
Well, it's also a reminder of you have to stay in the fight. You might be down. You might be demoralized. But if you quit, it's a guaranteed win for the other side. And you must fight for this caller's trans daughter. You must fight for people who do have it worse or are at the front lines of the full-on assault of Donald Trump and the Christo-fascist freaks who are coming for people's human rights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so this caller very generously put some resources in the email of their voice memo. And so we will be putting that in the show notes so that people can see what these resources are. And we are still working on the webpage that we're going to create of resources as well. So
we've got a few links that we're going to be putting online I have to figure out how to do it.
Yeah. So, but you can also, we're putting stuff on social media all the time. So if you are following us on Instagram at I Doubt It Podcast, at Brittany E Page, at Dollamore, we do not promote our social media ever on these episodes. Yeah. You know, one of the podcasts that I listen to, they do it every single episode. And it's always a reminder to me of like, we never do that.
We're not good at social media.
Yeah. So we're putting stuff in social media in our stories. We're putting resources there. We're putting, you know, posts from Indivisible reminding people of actions that they can be taking. We're trying to amplify a lot of this stuff. So even though we don't have that webpage up yet, we are putting it elsewhere. So be sure that you are following us on Blue Sky, following us on Instagram, make sure you're subscribed on YouTube. All of those things are really important because we update those things.
And we will be sure to mention that once again, like in another 50 or 75 episodes.
Yeah. So let's switch to a few emails here. First, I want to this is like some housekeeping. This is from a new Patreon supporter. And they wrote, I am listening to your most recent episode and you mistakenly said my name incorrectly. I recently became a Patreon member. It's Norma Jean S., not Jean S. Just wanted to point that out. Thank you.
Norma Jean S.
Yes.
All right. Corrected.
What do you say? Correct us. So.
Wow. Remember how long I mispronounced Raina's name?
Of course.
Because it looks like it's spelled in my stupid brain, Rania,
mm-hmm.
a longtime listener.
Yeah.
And she corrected us. And yep. Then it was solved.
Yep.
Norma Jean S.
All right.
Raina.
All right, we have another message. This is from a Patreon supporter as well, Jessica. Jessica writes, one great organization is Indivisible.
Wow,
They're getting local groups together to fight against fascism and alert when possible. Example, today I got a text from them about the federal funds freeze and a phone number to contact my rep, indivisible.org. So yes, this is very important. And I've seen conversations. I get comments all the time when I encourage people to make phone calls and they say, do these phone calls actually matter? These people work for you. I want you to know that. They work for you. If you're not harassing them, if you're not calling them and saying, I don't like what you did.
Yeah, they represent you. How are they going to know how to best represent you unless you don't tell them, this is what I want?
And some people will say, well, they'll just disregard it and vote a different way. Well, then you let them know you're unhappy about that.
Right.
And you contact friends in your neighborhood, people who think like you, and you ask them to make phone calls. I have my friend Ben, shout out to my friend Ben. He is...
Hey, Ben, shout out.
Every morning with his cup of coffee, he's calling his representatives. And I'm not joking, every morning. And then he texts me an update, and he lets me know what they said. Now, they're pretty useless, okay? They're not giving him a lot of good information. But the important thing is, that he's making his voice heard and he's keeping the pressure on. And he's saying, what you told me yesterday, I want to see progress from that. And that's important because who else is going to hold them accountable?
Why do you think that these Democrats in swing districts, more conservative districts, vote the way they do? It's because Republicans are calling and threatening them with fucking primaries and we're going to get rid of you. Nah, 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 nah. It works.
Yeah. And actually, he threatened to primary today.
Yeah. And the Capitol switchboard is 202-224-3121. I got it in my brain. 202-224-3121.
Yeah. And if you... RFK hasn't been confirmed yet.
No.
If you live in Louisiana, you live in Louisiana, please call Bill Cassidy and tell him no on RFK Jr. and that he's making a horrible mistake and that he shouldn't need to babysit RFK Jr. in order to vote yes on him.
He's announced that he's going to vote for him, but he hasn't yet because the vote hasn't taken place. And then after he does, eventually, when he does, we see, then you can call back and tell him to fuck straight off.
He is saying that he's voting for him because he has received confirmation that they're going to speak frequently all the time and be in contact. You know how it's great that you need to babysit someone.
Yeah, yeah.
Who's going to be Secretary
of Health and Human Services. It's nice that he's going to be RFK's administrative assistant having lots of Zoom calls talks.
Keep tabs.
He's going to be the Undersecretary of Health and Human Services.
All right. So thank you for that, Jessica. We have a...
What the fuck was that?
I can't really laugh.
Wow!
I can't laugh without it turning into a cough, so I have to be careful.
All right.
This is another email. Oh. Jesse, Brittany, what the fuck is happening? I have tried to record a voice message 5 different times, and every time I mess up and somehow can't get it all out. I cannot articulate how I'm feeling because I am so overwhelmed. I cannot believe this is where we are. I cannot believe I am living to see this. Remember how they raised us telling us this is the best country in the world? They fucking lied. We are just as fucked up as every other country on the planet. Every other country we said was third world. The same money-hungry, disgusting men clawing for power and prowess because their dicks are tiny, so the rest of us have to suffer. I fucking hate it here. I am normally a very articulate person, but I am feeling completely unhinged. I have found myself putting my blinders on much more than I would like. Much more like family members and friends that I looked down upon because they would say they're not into politics. I am privileged enough that I could be that person. I don't ever want to be that person. I am so thankful for you both, and I don't know how you do it. I love you both immensely and cannot put into words what your work means to me because currently I'm having trouble forming any coherent thoughts. I'm sorry this email is so insane. That's just how I'm feeling, completely lost and absolutely deranged. I'm sorry. Thank you. Laura from Buffalo.
Laura made me emotional. If that is inarticulate, then you, we know Laura, longtime listener, that was not inarticulate. You expressed so much. And let me, listen, I'm going through the same shit. I am perennially optimistic to a fault. I get criticized for being too positive and optimistic about shit. If you listen to this show for any length of time or, you know, nearly a decade like Laura, you know that I'm the upbeat guy. And I'm feeling it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still trying to maintain my fire and trying to funnel or meld my rage, sometimes problematic rage and fury, into activism. That's why last night we were at the Treasury. Today we're going to labor. And luckily we live in Washington, D.C., and unluckily, in some ways, we live in Washington, D.C., so we're able to do this. That's why we really want to communicate to you to get in touch with organizations like Indivisible and find out where you can mobilize in your communities, but also take time when you need it. Don't feel bad about fucking feeling bad. It means you love your country and you love your fellow Americans and people who aren't even Americans who live here. You care about them.
Yeah.
But we love you, Laura. Take care of yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, that mirrors a lot of what we've been hearing. So you are definitely not alone. And you know what? Don't feel bad about having to set limits on your consumption of the news. You don't need to be aware of every single thing that Donald Trump is doing, every single thing that Donald Trump has done.
Take as much as you can.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, that's why these organizations exist that we're telling you about, Indivisible, that are giving you actions that you can take. You know, if you care most about trans rights, if that's the thing that is worrying you the most, then you can focus your attentions there and pressure your elected officials yeah. on things that Donald Trump is doing in that area. If you are most concerned about the assault against immigrants in this country, then you can focus your attention on that and ensuring that people know their rights and amplifying resources for that. You know, it's important to not try to do everything and to really set limits on yeah. what you're trying to do so that it's not all consuming.
And if you have energy for more than one topic, do that. Do what you can, but don't dilute your ability or your energy level so much and spread it so thin that it's ineffective in the ways that you try to implement it.
Yeah. And ultimately, I don't know how helpful this is. This is something that's helpful to me. I kind of like more existential psychology and the idea that, well, I don't want to get into it because as I was getting ready to say it, it's not going to be super helpful. But we don't have control.
Yeah.
We fundamentally don't have a ton of control.
We have influence that we need to bring to bear. But
right. And I'm not trying to, again, that's why I said I don't know how helpful it would be.
Oh,
but,
I see. Yeah.
But for me, it's helpful to recognize what is out of my control and what's in my control. And that's not to say, that's not pessimistic. It genuinely is not. It's actually very optimistic because it helps you focus your energy and your yeah. attention on what you can control. And we do have, like you said, influence and sway, and we should use that, and we should make sure that we are doing the things that we can influence. But the things that we don't have control over, we can't just stop Donald Trump from doing what he's doing, like unilaterally as an individual person. We can't do that. So sitting here and going, oh my God, how can I stop this from happening?
And the other thing is, like we said right after the election, is don't lean into things that bring you anxiety. Like if you need to check out and don't listen to this show, then don't listen to the show. Mm-hmm. If having CNN or God forbid Fox News on in the background brings you anxiety, shut it the fuck off. If Twitter, you shouldn't be on the Nazified Twitter anyway, but if that is your source of trigger, put it fucking down. Delete it off your phone. You've deleted Twitter off your phone, Brittany.
Yeah, I don't have it on my phone anymore, so I can't check it. I do still, for certain purposes for the show, go on my desktop because there are some people who are still using it
yeah.
who haven't switched over to Blue Sky, like journalists that I want to see what they're posting there, unfortunately. But yeah, I don't know why I felt like I had to explain myself. Guys, I'm only using it. It's fine. Okay, so thank you for that email, Laura. And we have another voicemail, and this one is from Tommy.
Hey, Jesse and Brittany, it's Tommy. I got a question for you. When conservatives say they love America, do you know what they're talking about? Because they hate most of the people who live here. They hate the civil liberties afforded by the Constitution. They hate separation of church and state. They claim to love its economy, but they hate the states that make up the largest part of it. They hate the government. They hate the people who are anti-government. They hate the rich because they think they're conspiracizing. That's a new word. To fuck your kids. They hate the poor because they think they're lazy. They hate this country's natural beauty because it gets in the way of industry. They hate industry because it gives away jobs to immigrants. They hate immigrants for taking things they feel entitled to, and liberals because they feel that they're too entitled. They hate the government interference for getting in the way in the big business, but they hate big business for being too globalized. And they hate globalism for taking jobs away from American workers, and they hate American workers for unionizing and demanding better jobs. So exactly which part of America do they love? Maybe you can help.
The white part. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the entire, by the way, I hope to God that was written down, because that was a whole bunch to keep in your brain at one time.
Very impressive, Tom.
Yeah, for sure. The entire drive and impetus of Make America Great Again is to bring us back to the 1940s when Jim Crow was the law of the land, and under color of law, one could abuse and oppress and marginalize black people primarily. But it's the driving force of the most organized and effective white supremacy organization on the planet, which is the Republican Party. That would be my answer.
Yeah. I mean, we're seeing it right now that they fundamentally are only following Donald Trump's orders. I mean, anything that you thought conservatives stood for, they don't stand for anything except for what Donald Trump is going to direct them to stand for. It's, you know, Marco Rubio is one of the most recent examples that I can think of. He just recently was praising how important USAID is, and now he's leading the charge
to shutter it.
Yeah. So they will change their positions. They will change their closely held principles, whatever that means, in order to fall in line with Donald Trump.
It's the most bizarre thing to me still to this day, after 9 years of Donald Trump in politics, is that they've absolutely surrendered any of their quote unquote ideological points of view for whatever slithers out of Donald Trump's fucking mouth. He wants to own Gaza. He wants to be imperial. He wants to, nothing's off the table, even military force to take Greenland and Panama. I mean, what the fuck is going on with the Republican Party?
And can I just say, I don't want to, please don't drop names when I'm saying this. Just let me say a general statement. I really want people to think about the media that they have consumed over the past few years. And I'm not trying to say that people can't get stuff wrong, okay? Because people can get stuff wrong, and we're all human beings, and we have our own biases and our own intuitions, and they fail us all the time. But if you were consuming media that is left-leaning, and they were telling you that Project 2025 is not as big as a threat as certain people on the left were making it out to be, if they were telling you that we need to hear Donald Trump out, that we need to hear Elon Musk out, that maybe they'll cut the Department of Defense budget, that he wants to be out of these wars and that these are good things, these are not serious people. You should not be listening to them and their political commentary anymore. That is such a fundamental error that cannot be overlooked, because we all knew what Donald Trump wanted to do. From Gaza to eliminating the Department of Education. He said all of this stuff. Mm-hmm. They talked about the waterfront property on Gaza. They wanted to develop it. Now, it remains to be seen whether or not, you know, what's going to happen, whether his plans are going to come to fruition. But this is not a person who is advocating world peace.
Yeah.
This is not a person who is interested in ending the world's wars because there he has goodness in his heart.
There's no common ground to be had.
No, there's none.
And anybody who does this job, especially the people you don't want me to name, the reason they did what they did, in my view, is self-interest, not ideological purity or a care and concern for the outcomes that could be maintained throughout this administration.
Sure. Some people saw the writing on the wall that Donald Trump was going to win, and they decided to preemptively give in. And fine.
Anticipatory compliance.
Fine.
Obedience.
But I also want to say, because, you know, Marissa Kabas, I think is how you pronounce the last name.
Kabas. And I had to look up an interview, and they said her name.
She's an independent journalist who writes a newsletter. I believe it's called The Hand Basket. Mm-hmm. And she broke two prominent stories, including the federal funding freeze. She broke that story. And she's reporting right now that DOGE, you know,
Department of Government Efficiency,
now has full access to HHS payment management system, the HHS payment management system. And she says the system,
which is Medicaid,
right?
Medicare.
The system distributes almost $1 trillion per year in grants. It's the largest in the government and supports all of NIH, CDC, and many other public health initiatives. One of Musk's guys, Luke Ferriter, is actively delaying payments to recipients.
Is this one of the 22 or 25-year-old individuals that we don't know their name, we don't know their background, we don't know their investments, there's no oversight, there's no, they're not giving press conferences.
Right.
We don't know.
And, you know, this has been also a remarkable exercise in the mainstream media's failure because, you know, CNN's Dana Bash, I was watching a segment when I was sick as hell, and she was covering this story, and she said Elon Musk's genius mind when talking about how he has taken over. This is a hostile takeover of the government. And she's like, he has access to the programs. He has access to the departments.
He's gained access.
Yeah. Like, what? Do your job. Yeah. Do your job. People are listening to you. This is serious. They talked more disapprovingly about Joe Biden trying to forgive student loans than they are about Elon Musk doing what he's doing.
It's also a critique on Democrats, by the way.
Oh, totally.
That Republicans, he's in office for 15 fucking minutes and they're absolutely dismantling things for the detriment of American citizens. And Joe Biden's like, well, we got to do the right thing, y'all. We got to bring Republicans in on this. We can't. I got to do what's right. I can't. Oh, the Constitution, all this. You have power. Obviously, Donald Trump is exerting power, exercising the power of the presidency. When are Democrats going to stop acting like Republicans are cooperators in governance?
Yeah, and listen, this may be a moving the goalpost situation that actually isn't positive, but I saw a reporting that New York lawmakers are considering a change to the state's special election laws that would keep Elise Stefanik's House seat open for months in order to keep the very slim majority of Republicans.
Yeah. Let me say, 5 years ago, I would have been like, oh, I don't approve of that. Harumph, clutching pearls. Not anymore.
Yeah, I'm like, please. Look,
what they've done in Florida, what they did in Florida, there was a law on the books that Ron DeSantis could not run for president while actual governor. And they just said, we're going to change that law so he can run for president. They do this all the fucking time. In North Carolina, they do shit like this all the fucking time to claw back power when a Democrat becomes governor. So you know what? Fuck you. Do it.
Yeah, I mean, the norms are eroded, and this is what happens when you erode norms, is the goalposts are going to shift.
And at some point, we need to start fighting fire with fire.
Absolutely.
Metaphorically.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right. Thank you for that voicemail. Sorry. This is really going off the rails, but I think
every show should be like this.
Okay. I don't agree, but we'll see. So this is a message from a Patreon supporter, Chad. Hey, Jesse. Hey, Brittany. Hey, Sweepy. She's sleeping under our feet right now.
Can we explain the setup, or did we talk about it last time? We've got one of a
Costco
rectangle
dog bed.
Costco bed. Mm-hmm. And we just put it right under the podcast table.
And she lays there.
And she is, it's amazing.
Yeah.
She turned three.
She did turn three.
On January 31st.
Yeah. You can tell we do not love our dog at all.
We are mental patients.
All right. continuing with the message. It's been insane since Donald Trump was inaugurated as president. Unfortunately, I, as well as many other Louisiana citizens, Louisiana, Bill Cassidy, have gotten a little taste
of... That's not a celebration of Bill Cassidy.
No, I'm just reminding you, please call him.
202-224-3121.
I, as well as many other Louisiana citizens, have gotten a little taste of Donald Trump's presidency through the election of Jeff Landry as our governor. He has been rallying for the very same things we are seeing now from Donald Trump. He has already floated the idea of ending FEMA. Obviously, he was pulling from the same playbook as Trump, that playbook being Project 2025. This is where all Trump sycophants are getting their talking points. Anyways, we have our work cut out for us here between Landry's tongue being shoved up you know where, the unconstitutional Ten Commandments law, women's reproductive freedom, obvious aggression from Landry on LGBTQ rights, rollback on regulations, tax cuts for corporations and the rich, and a cozy relationship with Meta to boot. These next 4 years will have me aging fast. I was hoping to be done with this after his first term. Thank you guys as always. You keep me fired up. Love, Chad, and my dogs, Sam and Phoenix.
Where do you think Chad was talking about Landry's tongue being? If I had to guess, I think I would say up inside Donald Trump's asshole. You think I'm correct on that?
That sounds exactly correct.
The views and opinions of Jesse Dolemore are solely those of Jesse Dolemore,
no,
not
just well,
the views and opinions of Brittany Page.
Something
a far superior person and much more measured and reasonable in her views and analysis.
I said that's fine, and then I was like, I don't want to say that's fine. Like, I don't know, it's fine. All right. thank you for that, Chad. Thank you for your support as well. So we have another message here. This one is from Ari and Julia, longtime supporters of the show, Patreon supporters as well. As a same-sex couple who were married in a church, we felt very keenly the message of Bishop Buddy. The old saying, quote, when America sneezes, the world catches a cold, might be overused in geopolitical discourse, but when it comes to erosion of human rights across the world, there was never a truer saying. People in minority groups across the world are feeling very frightened right now. I'm about to write to Bishop Buddy about who we are and to pass on our thanks for her message that has reached around the world to offer the hope of resistance in the face of seemingly overwhelming winding back of progress. You're right, of course. We all need to band together in whatever ways we can to support each other, no matter how small a gesture it might seem. No effort of kindness or support is ever completely meaningless.
Thank you. It's so great. Fantastic sentiments. It is something that I think you probably witnessed as well yesterday, was just the sense of unity and community mm-hmm. out there with thousands of people outside of the Treasury building. Just a sense of community and belonging. And I think that that is something that we absolutely, in these dark times, and they are that, we need to lean into.
Right.
It's great.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're actually going to have a voicemail here on the international note that we just heard in the previous message there. So this is a voicemail from Rock in Germany.
Hey, Brittany. Hey, Jesse. It's Rock calling from Germany. I just wanted to chime in on the whole Elon Nazi salute thing. One thing that may be eluding you guys in the American news networks and whatnot is the fact that after Elon had his Nazi salute, he came over here and basically broke bread with the equivalent of the Nazi party, but for Germans. Now, they can't obviously call themselves the Nazi party, but they're called the AfD. Everyone basically knows what they are, who they are. The picture is so bad for Germany that they can't have Nazi paraphernalia, and literally showing the Nazi salute is in fact illegal. If I were to stand on the side of the Autobahn and pump my fist in the air the same way he did, the cops would be on me in almost no time flat. The newspapers here had to censor the picture of what Elon did. You can clearly tell it's Elon and what he's doing, but they actually had to place a censor over the salute itself because that's how, like, bad it is here. So why is it the fact that people that are in the States saying, oh, it's not a Nazi salute, like, really? Because the Klan and neo-Nazis in the States are basically whispering, look what our boy did. And people in Germany, on both sides of the political spectrum, are saying, that's a Nazi salute. And if anyone can sit there and say what it is, it's the people out here. So that's just mind-boggling. My mind is blown. When I was speaking to some of my relatives in the States, some were like, oh, it wasn't a Nazi salute. Like, yes, it was. Germans here are literally saying that. Nazis there are clamoring for it. So what did you guys take on all these people basically living in denial in the States? Like, I don't know what the atmosphere out there. I'm just keeping my head down because I'm unfortunately a federal worker and I shouldn't go on record to speak about elected officials, but I can clown this clown here since he's not elected. Let me know what you guys think. You guys take care. Hold on with your fingernails because it's just going to get crazy.
The only pushback that I would give to Rock here is that Nazis and white supremacists and avowed neo-Nazis here in the United States, they weren't whispering that it was a Nazi salute. They were openly praising acknowledging it as straight up Nazi love, I think, is what Nick Fuene said. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's they knew. Mm-hmm. And anybody who denies it, they also fucking know. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't even just that the newspapers in Germany had to censor it. Somebody went out and they didn't broadcast, but they projected the image onto one of the Tesla factories in Germany. And there was an investigation and trouble that they put the picture onto a projector on the side of the building. That was trouble for them.
Right. Yeah, so I talked about this when I guest hosted for Pac-Man before I got hit with the flu, and it's an obvious Nazi salute. I don't know why there was a tendency for people to start arguing about. There were even people saying, like, we don't know what his intent was. Again, we don't need to argue about it. I mean, he openly promotes white supremacy, Elon Musk.
Right, and appearing at the AFD rally.
Yeah, and he talked about
via
how
video
multiculturalism dilutes the population. I mean, you can't be any more clear about what he believes. He is a white supremacist.
Yeah,
he's
from apartheid South Africa. That's the culture in which he was raised. That's the culture in which he was imbued with his level of privilege and his understanding of race relations. He's a fucking Nazi fuck.
Yeah, just like we say about Tucker Carlson talking about immigrants poisoning the blood of our nation, making our country dirtier and poorer. We know what these statements mean, so we need to stop arguing about it and deal with reality on reality's terms. And I also talked about, you know, when this happened, I got all kinds of messages from people sending me the video, and they're like, "Brittany, is this a Nazi salute?" You know, because I'm like the go-to person confirm whether it's a Nazi salute, given that I have a childhood photo of me and my brother giving a Nazi salute at Aryan Nations with Richard Butler, the founder of Aryan Nations.
Right.
My brother's wearing...
on the compound in northern Idaho.
Yeah, you've seen it. My brother's wearing a swastika armband, and we're both giving a Nazi salute.
And he's grinning like a fucking idiot in it, too. So pleased.
And so...
No, you're not your brother, Richard Butler.
Yeah, so this culture, I was raised in this culture, and so it's undeniable to me. I mean, just like Nick Fuentes was so jovial, everyone that, you know, I was at Aryan Nations with in the 90s would have been like, oh, hell yeah, this is fantastic, except for it's not a bunch of rednecks in the woods getting hammered. It's, you know, Elon Musk, the most wealthy person in the world, who also is illegally accessing these government agencies and shutting them down and having these undeveloped frontal lobes like infiltrate these organizations. It's genuinely very scary. And I had this conversation with you, actually, where I sat down and I was like, am I in an echo chamber? Like, am I being concerned about what's happening right now? Like, am I just getting all hopped up on conspiracies? Because when you talk about what's happening and you just describe it accurately, Jamil Bowie said this on...
He says, you sound like a crank.
Yeah, he's like, it just, you can't... What? How is this possible?
Well, in relation to you being curious or aware that, oh, you don't want to be in an echo chamber, I want to just make the point, the Nazi salute thing doesn't just happen in a vacuum. It's not one incident that we have to just take on its face and think of nothing else. Remember the Nazi-esque rally at Madison Square Garden just before the election, where all of the insane racist shit was said, and the imagery, and the history that it was based upon, and they picked that location specifically as an echo of what took place in the 30s at that same location. With the America First movement that was Nazi-friendly, Nazi-apologists. It didn't happen in a vacuum.
Mm-hmm.
We have many, many years of understanding of what the motivations and the animation, what animates the Republican Party. And it's racism.
Yeah, and I kind of mixed two things there, where I started talking about just his general takeover of the federal government and moved off of the Nazi salute. That's what I was talking about with, am I in an echo chamber in terms of being worried about this? But when respected, reasonable people are also worried.
Yeah, Jamil Bowie's a columnist for the New York Times, a serious-minded intellectual. He's not prone to fits of conspiracy and hysteria.
Right. So... if you are concerned, no, you are right to be concerned, and you should be concerned.
Yeah.
Now, we were going to...
Thank you, Rock.
Yes, thank you so much. We were going to read this, like, very snide and strange email that we got.
Can we save that for next time?
Yeah, we can save it for next time, sure. Sure, we'll save the snide, weird email that we got for next time. We did get an email from Eric, and it's very nice. So should we just end with a nice one?
Let's end with a nice one. The other one, they call me out, right? And I think some of the criticism might be well-founded, but it's very... two points are being made that really don't agree with one another.
Like, yeah.
Criticizing me for being mean to Trump supporters or something, is that the one?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's save it for next time.
Yeah. Hey, Jesse and Brittany. I found your show quite a while back when you, Brittany, guest-hosted for David Pakman. I think the first time she had done so. I really enjoy your podcast, and sometimes when you guys play some of those really emotional voicemails from passionate people who have suffered in one way or another, and you tear up a bit on your show, it makes me tear up a little as well. I think you are doing important work sharing these stories with so many people. I think I'm just sick right now, but I am like getting emotional reading that part.
Well, they're right. We are pretty great.
I think you are doing important work sharing these stories with so many people and covering politics so well like you do. It must be a lot of work to dig up all of this information and create and edit a show. Keep up the great work and keep being great human beings. You and I and all free, sane, thinking people need to stick together and fight the madness, lies, and hate that we all see growing in power each day in the world. Thank you for the hard work you do, and good luck to you both in your future efforts. Eric.
Eric, thank you very much. And again, it's a great call to action that we all do need to stick together. It's kind of a callback. It's bringing it back to what we talked about at the beginning.
Yeah.
It's more important now than ever. I hate saying that because it's so fucking cliche and repeated, but it is more important now than ever in times of existential crisis where people feel alone and they feel at the end of their rope. They feel exhausted. They feel completely tapped out. When you have energy, you need to let them lean upon you to rest, to give them refuge, to give them comfort, to give them aid. And that's what we hope to be on the show.
Yeah. So I want to say just a couple of things, give you a second. But I also, while I'm talking, think of a song that you want to recommend to people that's like a really feel-good song that will like uplift people's spirits.
You want to think of it that quick?
Okay, what do you think? While I'm talking.
I'm a fucking walking, talking, blood-pumping jukebox like you are, weirdo.
I would be able to come up with one, so why don't I'd be able, I'd come up with 10 right now.
Please.
All right.
She's not a Christian.
That's not even relevant. Don't make me laugh. I will cough. Okay. I'm going to recommend a song and go really slowly so that Jesse has time to think of one. And if he can't come up with one.
All right, I got one.
Okay, so mine is, and you're not going to find it on Spotify. You're not going to find it on iTunes. Yes, it's kind of a flex that I'm saying that, but also it's just to give you information. It's called How Time Flies by Oliver.
That was my song I was going to say.
No, it was not.
No, it was not.
And you can find it on YouTube. So go to YouTube and type in How Time Flies Oliver, and that is the song that you should listen to, and it is going to make you feel good even for just a few minutes, and I definitely recommend that. In addition to, we're going to put a bunch of resources in the show notes, including our song recommendation, Five Calls, so the number 5calls.org. This is an organization that you pop in your location, and it pops up who you need to call and what you can call them about.
That's
and gives
awesome.
And gives you what you need to say. So it's very straightforward.
Like gives you a script.
Great resource.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Also, the indivisible.org is the important organization as well that you want to sign up with.
I think I'm going to tweet the directors, the founders of Indivisible on Blue Sky. I'm still saying tweet, but whatever. It's on Blue Sky.
Mm-hmm.
If you're on Blue Sky, retweet my tweet to signal boost it so they will get in contact with us. Oftentimes, especially on that platform, it's hard. You don't see the things that get tweeted at you or messaged or posted or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
We want to get in connection with them so we can help them do their work better.
Totally. So what is your song choice that people should listen to so that they can feel a little bit better?
I did think of it. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
It's America, love it.
I don't have one.
Are you being serious?
I don't have one. I don't think like that.
Okay. Here, don't stop till you get enough, Michael Jackson.
All right,
Jackson.
There we go. Perfect.
All right.
Great. Fantastic.
Love You Save, Jackson 5.
Come on. See, that's not how I work.
Ain't no stopping us now, McFadden and Whitehead. All right.
That's a feel-good song.
I guess I'll link to my recommendation, and Jesse will come up with one later. All right, well, we're going to head out to the protest. We actually might edit this when we come back and post it when we come back from the protest. So just know that.
No, we can get it done.
Okay. So, yeah.
We love you guys. We appreciate you. I love episodes like this because it really does, it is indicative of the community that we don't often recognize. That, you know, we're Brittany and Jesse with microphones in front of their stupid faces, talking into them, and then we post the show. And then, you know, we get a little bit of listener communication. In moments like this, it is very, very telling how people are drawn to community. And we feel so, for lack of a better term, blessed. We feel so lucky to be in a position to have a community build up around this show. We want to do what's right by this community and by the show. And we do feel a responsibility for having a platform as small or as large as it is. So thank you very much. We would ask you that if you're in a position to support the show and you feel the spirit move you, you can go to patreon.com/IDoubtItPodcast. You can also call and communicate with the show or leave a voice memo. You can call 657-464-7609 or you can email IDoubtIt@Dollemore.com. We're going to leave you there. Stay strong. Keep your chin up. We love you. We appreciate you. And we will see you next time. For Brittany Page, I'm Jesse Dollemore, and this has been I Doubt It.
Planet Fitness, we're declaring it. This is the year of getting stronger. And Future Stronger You can get started now by saving $28 or more when you join today. You in? We have all the best-in-class equipment you could ever need to keep stepping it up. And free fitness training to help you mix up your routine. Plus, most clubs are open 24 hours. So let's do this. Join Planet Fitness today and save $28 or more. Just $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends February 28th. See Home Club for details.